And remember this, just like all kinds of sex, aftercare is really important, particularly FaceTime sex. You know, you want to make sure that you and your partner take time to really connect and pillow talk after you stop playing. You know, you don't want to just like hang up, because when you do, you know, you're going to be alone in your room again. So you still want to feel connected to a partner after the sex ends. You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. Today's episode is all about FaceTime sex or video sex, whatever platform you use, and how to pull it off, from feeling comfortable on screen to what to actually say in the moment. Plus, I take your questions on FaceTime sex, like, how do you spice it up and how do you end a sexting session? Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. My new articles, Ask Emily, How Do I Get a Stronger Erection? And 6 Secrets to Have the Best Oral Sex of Your Life are up on sexwithemily.com. All right, let's get into it. I'm talking about FaceTime sex today, or any video platform you use. So it's a topic I'm definitely getting more questions about, and it's something that's been on the rise in recent years. And I've been getting these questions from couples who want to spice it up and try something new, people in long-distance relationships, and singles who are simply having casual FaceTime sex, particularly younger singles. Hey, Gen Z. So let's discuss some reasons why you might want to develop this skill set, this new way to play. Well, first, it's summer. And you're traveling, and you want to stay connected with a partner while either of you are away. Makes sense. Or maybe you're in a long-distance relationship, and virtual sex is one of your primary ways of being intimate with your partner. Or maybe you're in a long-term relationship and just want to spice things up a bit. Or you simply might enjoy getting sexual this way, regardless of your relationship status. In fact, I know some people who really enjoy only engaging in virtual sex, as in they're actively on the apps, they're texting people, maybe even sending some pictures, but really have no intention of ever meeting in person. You know, do you have any friends like this? I have a friend like this just the other day, and she was like telling me all about this guy she's been seeing, and they're having this whole relationship. I was like, well, what was it like? What was the sex life? She's like, oh, no, I haven't met him yet. He's in Florida, but we've been like having FaceTime sex and flirting and sexting, but we're going to be meeting in a few weeks. So you guys know, you heard this before. Now, this is not my personal play of choice. You guys can do what you want to do, but my only thing is, I don't know, some people like think these are real relationships and they have expectations, for example. Like my friend had an expectation for this guy, like, why isn't he calling me back? He hasn't said he was going to visit and he hasn't. I was like, all we know of this guy is that you're having FaceTime sex with him and you know what his penis looks like, but you actually don't know how tall he is. You don't know what he smells like. You don't know how it feels to have his actual hands on your body. So all I'm saying is, when we inflate these relationships, we think that they're like this really serious partner and we start putting expectations on them, when really you're having FaceTime sex with them, which is actually could be really fun. You know, I just want people to check your intentions and expectations. So every year, Match.com does a Singles in America survey, which I've talked a lot about. But this year, they found out 48% of people want to get to know each other over the phone. And yes, this includes things like flirting, sexting, and FaceTime sex. I mean, COVID normalized a lot of new things for us, including FaceTime sex. But even before COVID, I always vouched for getting to know someone over the phone before meeting in person. I've been on dates before where I get all dressed up, I drive across town because I met this guy on an app, we swiped, we texted, only to get there and immediately realize this was not going to be the person for me. So how much easier would it have been if I had hopped on a chat with him? I'm not talking FaceTime sex with him, but just video chat. And the other thing is, right now, there's a lot less stigma around things like sexting and sending nudes. In fact, the same survey from Singles in America showed that even before COVID, 40% of Gen Zers texted nudes. And then talking to some of the younger people on my team, they've pretty much all sent nudes or engaged in virtual sex before. So I'd love to hear from you about your views on sending nudes. Are there generational differences around it? I just come from a place where I believe it's important to know that if you send a naked photo to somebody, that there is a chance that somebody else is going to see it besides your intended recipient. I've had so many friends receive a dick pic, receive a picture from a woman, anyone, and they turn to me and they go, look at this picture. So it's like, I think I've never been in a place where I felt comfortable knowing that, like, I'm going to send this rando up nude and then their neighbors are going to see it. So that's just me. I'd love to hear from you, though. What have been your experiences with it? And now in talking to people on my team, they're totally comfortable with it. They're like, yeah, I don't care. That's just part of life. You sent a naked photo. I felt good in this photo. I'm okay with it getting out there. So again, you have to decide on your comfort level and just be aware of the consequences if it does get out there. Maybe you don't care. Maybe you're like, I feel great in my body. I really don't care who sees it. And it's all good. I mean, back in the day, you'd say you got to delete everything on your Instagram if you want to get a job, and you're never going to get hired if you have naked photos out there. And it depends. If you're trying to be an FBI agent, that's probably true. But, you know, for a lot of jobs today, I mean, we've seen presidents full on naked, having affairs with prostitutes, and they still get elected for office. So all I'm saying is the world is a different place right now. Maybe we're not as judgy around nudes and what people do with their sex lives. And so, you know, just proceed with caution. Even though some people are getting more comfortable with virtual sex overall, if it's not your jam, zero pressure. And also, if a partner ever makes you feel pressured into sending a nude or a text that you're not comfortable with, feel free to read that as a giant red flag and, of course, say no and walk away. I am telling you, you do not have to do anything you don't want to do in a relationship, sexually, sending photos, sending nudes. It's not going to make you more loved, more liked, or anything. And if someone's going to give you a hard time for it, again, walk away, not your person. FaceTime sex, like all sex, should be mutually and enthusiastically consenting because, as I mentioned earlier, there is some risk. Anything shared over the internet could be leaked or shared. People could be recording it. That happens even if they don't tell you they're recording it. So it is incredibly important that you trust your play partner to be respectful about anything you send them, whether this is your longtime partner or a virtual one-night stand. So I highly recommend having this conversation at a time completely separate from the virtual sex, while you're both fully clothed. And it's also important to set boundaries during this time, like saying, like, there's no screenshots or no screen recordings unless you both mutually consent to that. You also want to make sure that you're using a private, secure platform like Signal or Confide. FaceTime, which is exclusive to Apple products, also has end-to-end encryption. And even though you're not together, foreplay is still incredibly important for virtual sex. If you find sex most satisfying when you feel connected with your partner, maybe you've dinner together over the phone first. Make it a virtual date. Drink a glass of wine. Talk to each other. Seduce each other before it all gets sexual. You don't have to jump right into having sex with somebody on the phone, FaceTime. If you get most turned on by a little distance and mystery, particularly with a casual partner, maybe you can warm each other up with some sexting before you turn on the camera. So just remember, anything goes here. You can play, you can titillate. There's even no pressure to even show your entire body ever, or maybe you want to show your body and not your face. Again, you get to decide. Don't hang up because after a quick break for our sponsors and giving you all the step-by-step tips for hot, confident FaceTime sex. Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy, whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage. The Magic Wand should be your go-to with powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns. It's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. So getting back to FaceTime sex, essentially, this is really mutual masturbation with the help of your phone. And you know I'm a huge fan of mutual masturbation. I love what it does. I love that mutual masturbation is a great way to get to know your partner and what they're into. And you also know it's a sure thing and you're both going to get off. And of course, there's elements of dirty talk involved in mutual masturbation. And for everyone reading Smart Sex, this is an example of the things I talk about with sexual intelligence, namely collaboration. Because FaceTime sex is a form of collaborative communication. And ideally, it's not one person performing for the other. Both people are turning each other on. Both people are experiencing pleasure, which I think is really, really important. And listen, in hetero couples, it so often falls on the woman to look hot or perform for their partner while they watch. This is not about that. In fact, I don't think that any sex should be about that at all. I think that the best sex, the most hottest sex, is when you are both genuinely being turned on and aroused. Now, there was a great GQ article that just came out talking about one of the sex scenes in that show, The Idol. Are any of you watching it? Because I think it's the opposite of smart sex. I was pretty disturbed by it. I only got through two episodes so far, but there's literally no consent, no collaboration, zero understanding of why she actually finds him hot. And I think that it is sort of what not to do sexually. I'd love to sort of do a screening of it and do a freeze frame of just pointing out all the things that are just woefully wrong with this show. But going back to the article for a minute, and I can talk more about that, and I'd love to hear your take on it, but there was like nothing sexy about it. There was, you know, the fact that The Weeknd, or his name in the show, Tedra, I think, thinks that his penis going in her vagina is going to make her the best singer on the planet, and that he's got some magical powers the way he has sex with her, and he's going to teach her how to be a great lover because he knows what sex is just fraught with so much bad information. But anyway, in this GQ article, it talks about this. It says, the writers of the show clearly believe that sex is as follows. A woman gets so turned on because a man just exists. Then something messy and weird happens in the middle. You know, we won't say what it is, but trust us, we've definitely had sex before. And then finally, when it's all over, she lets them know that that was the best time she ever had. That's what the show is about. It's like the worst kind of sex. It's like performative sex. You know, Jocelyn, the lead star, is not having any kind of pleasure and probably hasn't had any kind of pleasure. And if you want to talk more about Idol, seriously, let me know. I'm down. But anyway, mutually beneficial FaceTime sex is not a performance. It really isn't. It should never be. No sex should be a performance. But please don't sign on for FaceTime sex because your partner says they want you to do FaceTime sex. Don't send a nude because your partner wants you to send him a nude. So with this pleasurable FaceTime sex, yes, you're turning yourself on, but you're also collaborating with your partner to turn each other on, but you're really focusing on your own pleasure because at the end of the day, mutual masturbation, FaceTime sex, the hottest thing is when we are genuinely turned on and we're not worried about how we look and what's really going on with our partner. We're in our bodies. We're truly embodied, which is the first pillar of sex IQ, and we are feeling ourselves. And when we're feeling ourselves, our partner can feel us. So yes, you are collaborating with your partner here, but at the end of the day, you are in your room by yourself, genuinely turning yourself on. Like the responsibility is yours, okay? So this is all about your pleasure. You're touching yourself. No one else is there. So let's get into the how. How do you pull off FaceTime sex? The first thing to keep in mind is this. If it's your first time, of course you're going to feel a little nervous and maybe awkward. And that's totally okay. So I'm giving you tips today to help you feel more prepared for this. And it's also all right to tell your partner, hey, this is my first time doing this and I'm a little nervous. And by the way, it's always okay to tell your partner it's your first time doing something and you're nervous. That's vulnerable. That's real. That's how someone can really get to know you, is when you are truly honest about what you're experiencing. And that'll instantly allow everyone just to breathe a little because you're not pretending to be a professional here, okay? And they're probably a little nervous too. So let's talk about preparation. How do you prepare for this whole thing before you FaceTime your partner? Well, I recommend getting yourself into a sexy vibe first. Take a bath or a shower, maybe have a glass of wine, like anything that's gonna help you relax. And put on something that makes you feel sexy. Is it lingerie? Is it some hot underwear? Even a full outfit with hot underwear underneath, you know? You can do a little strip tease. You can feel what makes you feel your sexiest self. And I think it's also really fun to like look in the mirror beforehand to practice, take a few deep breaths, maybe even start touching yourself. Maybe start masturbating a little bit, get yourself aroused, get the blood flowing, get yourself turned on. And I even recommend that you take some videos of yourselves masturbating, which can totally be deleted after. This just allows you to get comfortable, like being naked on a screen. That's a whole new experience to actually see yourself. And so maybe you're thinking, well, there's a reason why I don't have any digital images of myself, or I don't look at myself naked because I don't feel comfortable naked. I'm not really feeling great about my body. But here's another way to think about it. There's actually been research that has shown, particularly for women who are experiencing some concerns around their body, when they do look at themselves in the mirror, turned on, and aroused, it actually gets them more aroused and feel better about themselves, boost their self-confidence, and just feel better in their body and feeling better naked. So if this is something you've struggled with, I highly recommend this process, even if you're not going to mutually masturbate. I recommend the process of looking at yourself in the mirror and seeing how hot you are when you are turned on and embodied. And I know it's FaceTime sex, but I still think you want to create a great vibe in your place. So make sure it's neat and tidy, light some candles, set the lights down low, some music, keep your favorite masturbation supplies nearby, whatever that is, lube, sex toys, anything you want for cleanup, you know, just do some prep work. All right, logistics. Literally, how do you set up your device? So I think there's some pros to using a laptop or an iPad and not a phone. So it's easy setup. You can place it on a stack of pillows. You can lay down on your side facing the camera. You can also adjust your body position so the parts that you want them to see are in view. You can also have more agility and creative freedom with this setup. You know, with the laptop on your pillows, you can kneel in front of it on your knees so your partner can more easily see your chest, your torso, your genitals. You know, there's just a better view. It's kind of cam girl, cam boy vibes. Another nice thing about using a laptop is that you can easily see yourself. So if you'd like to make a visual adjustments at any point, just a lot easier to do. Now, let's talk about why it's fun to use a phone. Well, you could get super creative with angles. Obviously, simply by just holding it in your hand, you have more control. You can turn into selfie mode, angle it towards the places you want them to see. And if you're brand new to this, you can simply keep the phone turned towards your face while you give them a play-by-play of how you're touching yourself. Or maybe you want to tell them what you imagine doing to them or what you imagine them doing to you. You know, it's a turn-on to keep some things to the imagination, which, listen, FaceTime sex that's limited to the face only is super hot. There is like zero pressure here to show your genitals at all. A lot of this could just be face-to-face, sort of a knowing that you're both touching yourself, but you don't need to see it. There's a lot of different ways to feel connected and aroused. And another thing is, as you're both getting more and more warmed up, you can sort of give them a reward by showing them more of your body as the sex progresses. So it's a tease. It's basically the foreplay for the FaceTime sex. So that's the handheld, which I think is a little bit more difficult, especially if you've got one hand in your genitals and one hand on your phone. It's just a little bit more to think about. So I love the idea of a phone on a tripod next to your bed or your bath or wherever you feel more comfortable and your hands free. So now you've got both hands available to touch yourself. Those are some ideas for some device setup. Now let's talk action. What do you actually do during FaceTime sex? Well, you really get to do whatever you want. So wearing something that makes you feel sexy. And here I'm really speaking to everyone, all genders, all sexualities. So let's not make this about one gender performing for the other. We both want to turn each other on while turning ourselves on. Exception would be exhibitionism. So if it turned you on to perform it in that way, in more of a one-way performer viewer context, go for it. Right? You could be doing a dance for your partner while they're watching, or maybe you decide you're just going to watch them. It's all good here. There are really no rules per se. I just want to make sure that everyone's getting something out of it, right? So it's okay to be a one-way performer. That's different than being performative and just doing something that you think your partner will think is hot, but you're actually numb inside, not feeling anything. That's not what we're talking about. Okay, so now what? What do you say during these mutual masturbation play sessions? So I do have all kinds of resources on my site for Dirty Talk. A lot of you ask about Dirty Talk, but the number one piece of advice I want to give you is to be in the moment. Be present. Rehearsed lines unfortunately sound a little cringe. Cut to the show The Idol. Go back if you want to hear cringe Dirty Talk. But a genuine reaction, you know, say to someone take off a piece of clothing, and you simply saying, wow, I mean, that is sexy because you're legitimately feeling it, but you might already know how to say wow. But you want to know what else would you say over FaceTime? So I have some ways that you could start to practice your own dirty talk. Audio erotica apps are great for this. Listening to how people relate sexually, how they talk to each other, how they turn each other on. Those could be used for some inspo, just to hear people being sexual with one another. And I'm not saying that you need to memorize what they say, but you can sort of internalize their energy, their vibe, and use that to fuel your FaceTime sex. Some more quick tips for FaceTime dialogue. You can take turns directing one another, like, you know, take your shirt off, for example. That could be hot, just like take your shirt off. You can dom during FaceTime, you really can, with their consent. Tell them precisely how and where to touch themselves so you're directing them, right? Tell them when they're allowed to orgasm. That's hot. Like, don't orgasm until I tell you to. And of course, they can do the same for you. They can direct you and your actions this time. Maybe it's a fun time to talk about, you know, the most memorable time you've had sex together. Remember when this happened? Remember when that happened? You know, and then the memories guide the conversation and you're using that as fuel to get you both going. And another great thing is to be present to the kind of sex you want to have together. You can create a fantasy. Take turns describing, you know, what you would do to each other in different scenarios or what you want to do to each other, you know, in the future. So those are ways that you can use real material that might be in your head already and just tell each other. And your dirty talk voice is a little bit slower, a little bit more intentional. Maybe you're making eye contact. So that's sort of the difference between it. But thinking about something that's happened in the past, something that you want to happen in the moment, or something that you're looking forward to happening in the future are some great rules to go by if you're trying to come up with some FaceTime or dirty talk material. Hold your positions, because after the break, I'm answering your questions like, is sexting cheating? And how does sexting end? There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. This is from Emma 35. Hey, Dr. Emily, my lover and I can't be together at the moment, but are beginning to explore pleasuring ourselves over FaceTime. Besides what one would consider to be standard masturbation, what are ways to spice things up for each other? I'd like this experience to feel a little more special than standard masturbation. It's still sex. Do you have resources to recommend? Well, first, make it a date night. I love the idea of starting off having dinner together, a glass of wine, asking each other questions. A lot of you are loving the 69 questions that I have in my book, Smart Sex, just as an example, like getting to know each other on a deeper level. I have a friend who's been married for 14 years and she's like, my husband and I did the questions together and we learned so much and it was a total turn on. It's an easy way to facilitate conversations about intimacy and be vulnerable in like a gamey setting. Sex toys now are so cool because there's a lot of them that are remote, meaning you can control each other's vibrator from different parts of the world, country, rooms, next to each other. It doesn't matter. It uses your phone and Bluetooth technology. So that could be really hot. You have a toy and your partner's controlling it, or you're controlling their toy, or both at the same time. That's a fun way. You could also play a fun sex game like Truth or Dare or Strip Poker. There's a lot of really fun sex games. So think of something clever. Think of a game that you already like playing and then make a strip version. Role-playing is really fun. You could both decide that you're going to show up as different characters. Maybe you're just wearing a wig, something different. You could also try directing or taking direction from your partner if you're into some dom sub play. And remember this, just like all kinds of sex, aftercare is really important, particularly FaceTime sex. You want to make sure that you and your partner take time to really connect and pillow talk after you stop playing. You know, you don't want to just like hang up, because when you do, you know, you're going to be alone in your room again. So you still want to feel connected to a partner after the sex ends. All right, Emma, thanks for your question. This is from Sarah. She's 24. Hey, Dr. Emily, I've been engaged for just over a year now, and my fiance and I are very open when it comes to trying new things in the bedroom. He's been away for work for a couple months, but we've been keeping things fun. We've used this time apart to explore, but there have been some things that he likes that I haven't really been into. We like sexting and video chatting, but there are some kinks that I don't find appealing, but I don't want to hurt his feelings or make him feel like he can never bring stuff up. The sexting involves him asking how he should come and what he should do with it, like eat it. He likes being stepped on and likes when I make him beg to come. I want to still be intimate with him virtually, but some of the stuff he brings up takes me out of the moment. Sometimes it just goes on too long, or there are too many questions which can take the fun out of it. I just don't know how to say I'm not a fan of some of those things he likes. How do I talk about this with him without making him embarrassed? I know that we won't always like the same things, but he has made me so comfortable since the first time we had sex. I was a virgin, and he's never shot down anything I like or wanted to try, so I don't want to do that to him. Thank you so much for this question, Sarah. And I have to say, it makes sense that some of these conversations you're having with them in the moment are making you question things or making you a little bit uncomfortable or you're unsure about him. You know, it sounds to me like he is really into being dominated. Essentially, he wants you to tell him when he can come. He wants you to step on him. That might be an area that you have not explored yet. Might not be one of your turn-ons for you to dominate someone else. I don't know, maybe you want to be dominated more. You're learning more about his kinks, and you said that he's been into what you're into, but what a wonderful time to have a conversation with him outside the bedroom about where his fantasies are coming from, what he's really into. You know, maybe he got it from porn, maybe it's not really his interest, maybe it's just how he's dirty talking to you, but this might be what he wants more of when he sees you in person. But listen, this is your fiance. This is someone that you're going to marry, you're going to live with, you're going to be with. So I think it's really important to next time, maybe you do this virtually next time you guys are, you know, having date night on FaceTime and just say, hey, let's talk about some of our fantasies, you know? And again, you remember you want to be open and you want to be curious and you want to be compassionate. You don't want to yuck his yum. You want to listen to his fantasies and say, tell me more about that. I hear you asking me questions to like dominate you and step on you. Like you could say, is this a genuine fantasy of yours? Where does this fantasy come from? Tell me more about it. What would you like from me? Is this something you actually want me to do? Have this conversation casually outside of a sexual context. Do it in a way that doesn't make him feel bad, that's just curious. Like, oh, really? I'm just curious about it. Like, you really have to watch your tone here. And then you said that he's been really down with what you're into. And I'm just thinking that this could be a great time for you to really explore more about what you're into too. What have you liked? What have you learned that you like? Would you like him helping you figure out more of your fantasies? Because it sounds like you just started having sex. And I want to remind everybody that it takes a while doing something, doing really anything to learn what your real preferences are and what your real turn-ons are. You can explore with him and you can let him know that when he says these things to you as well, how it makes you feel. You could say, I really want to understand your kinks around me stepping on you and me dominating you. It doesn't feel as comfortable to me. So maybe you could explain to me more about it, you know, and just be open and hear what he says and ask him questions and then keep going. And these are the kind of conversations that I highly encourage couples to have often. So you can really understand though, are you on the same sexual page? Do you both want the same things? Are you going to be able to compromise? Because if he says to you, you know what? My top fantasy is being dominated. I actually need to be with a partner who really wants these things. And if you do want to tell him that you're not into it, remember whenever giving constructive feedback around sex or anything really, lean on the reliable compliment sandwich. You can tell a partner, hey, I love it when you're sharing your fantasies with me. Next time, you could share a different fantasy with me. You can tell him straight up, I'm not sure that I am on board with the same fantasies that you're into, but let's try to find some other ways that we can connect. And then you wrap it up with a compliment that says, because I think if we can really both figure out what our true, genuine erotic fantasies are, that we could really be great lovers to each other. You start with a compliment, you give the feedback, the questions, the concerns in the middle, and then you end it with another compliment and wrap it up. All right. So let me know how that goes. Thanks for your question, Sarah. This is from Maya, 26, in Virginia. Hey, Dr. Emily, my boyfriend and I sometimes sext, and I never really used to sext, but I feel like I've gotten better in the last couple of years at both composing messages and also initiating it. But I still feel like I don't know where the conversation is supposed to end up. How do you know when you reach the end of that interaction? I find that usually we get interrupted by just getting too busy in the day to continue or someone falling asleep at night. But now I'm sitting here trying to make an effort to really go for it, and I don't even know how to know when it's over or how to wrap it up. Can you shed some light on the topic for me? My first instinct here is to say, like, please don't overthink this. Like, sometimes we're just sexting with each other and it's titillating in the moment, and then we got to go answer an email from our boss or we got to get into a meeting or something else happens. But just the act of getting each other a little titillated and turned on in the middle of the day can be really fun. Like, sometimes it just ends that way. Or you pick it up later, just like sex, right? Sex isn't always so linear. I think we think sex has to be so linear, but sometimes we can just like start fooling around and then we end it, we go back to it later. But if this is truly a concern of yours, Talk to your partner about it and just say, hey, I love our sexting. It's really hot. And I'm curious, what happens when it just drops off? Is there something that you're going to need or that we should do together to kind of end it or wrap it up or note that this sexting is ending right now? You could also incorporate another text. Like you could be like, oh, hey, did you pick up the dry cleaning? And hey, that text earlier was really, really hot. You just got to remember that when your partners are making our effort, we want to keep it going. We want to acknowledge it. And I always say foreplay all day. Keep your pilot light lit. Keep it going all day. I love foreplay all day. Sounds like that's what you're doing and you're doing it right. This is from Lex, 30, California. Hey, Dr. Emily, I'm a happily married woman. My husband and I have been together for over 10 years. We've been married for 5. Like any marriage, we've entered into the routine of work, bills, projects, you know, your daily routines. Our sex life is at a constant 1 to 2 times a week, depending on stress or energy. Until last week, when I started sexting with someone from a travel group I joined. Our conversations are dirty and involve pictures. However, as I get incredibly turned on by our sexting, I get even more turned on by my husband now. For some reason, another man paying me attention has boosted my sexual appetite, and my husband and I had sex 4 times just over the weekend. My husband has even noticed the change, and I've started sending him naughty messages as well. I guess this is really my dilemma. I know that what I'm doing is cheating, but it's sparking new energy in my marriage that I'm enjoying. I'm devoted to my husband and would never take this fantasy seriously, but I am worried that I've discovered an emotional or psychological issue that I need to address. I greatly appreciate your input. Lex, great question here. First off, I think you're handling this in a really mature way. I appreciate you messaging me about it. Sometimes outside partners simply fuel the desire and the passion in a dormant relationship. That just happens. Sometimes people say that full-on affairs brought them closer to their partner and brought them back together. Now, this is not all the time, but it sounds like you have found just the catalyst that you needed. And my hope for you is that you continue to build this with your partner. That it doesn't need to be the other person sending out these missives that are then getting you turned on by your partner. And since your partner's responding and turned on, let's keep your attention towards him. I highly recommend that you don't tell your partner about this guy. It sounds like you're not interested even in meeting up with this guy, which I really hope you stick with that, you know, and find other ways to fuel the connection with your partner. Variety and trying new things are such important parts of keeping sex really hot. And it sounds like after 10 years, you found just the thing that's going to do that. And now that you know sexting is something that turned you on, you could try other things. Maybe you can write erotica together. Find some porn that turned you both on. Expand the relationship with your husband. It doesn't need to be about this other guy. And I find that a lot of people misplace attraction to the other person or like on affairs, like, oh, but this person's going to be my best lover. No, this person came along at a time and taught you a really, really cool thing about your own arousal runway. And now you get to play with your partner. Maybe you could do some role playing. You could do some sexting from different numbers if that's hot for you. So it feels like a stranger, but use this really interesting, stimulating fuel to stoke some other fires within your current relationship. All right. Thanks for your question. I appreciate you. That's it for today's episode. See you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.